okay? Will I be all right? We are often so worried about our own welfare. I believe we spend untold hours being concerned if our money will work out, if our health will hold up, if we'll lose our minds, if the economy will continue to allow us to live such convenient lives, if the car will make it another week, if this, if that. Round and round till you can see the whites of our eyes in the dark. Our state of well-being is constantly attacked by Satan and all his buddies, who love to inspire us to run around in terror about what might happen. Remember, this is the enemy of our soul, the very ones whose will is fully set against us, thrilling to our demise in any way it can be devised. Listen to God, not the downward spiral of the world. It's good to hate sin, but it's better to love God. Okay, so, what if you die? Well, then I reckon you won't have to worry about things anymore. Trusting God won't be an issue then, because all things will be said and done. Well, what if you don't die? That's an odd one, but I've heard it from addicts in jail who have a secret death wish, thinking if they do more dope, maybe they'll die and won't have to keep being miserable. I've actually heard a frequently incarcerated felon say that. Gosh, what a morbid, ultimate victim thing to think. When I heard that, I thought two things simultaneously. First was a quote from Graham Greene. We're all of us resigned to death. It's life we aren't resigned to. And the second was how, despairing, this person has bought into the territory of lies without a return ticket, finding themselves literally at the freezing point of knowing absolute failure. All they see is themselves, constantly being an inch from the end, in so much pain, seeing no other way out but to end it can be found. I find it interesting. The person was also a heavy drug user, which I called that level of addiction, death on the installment plan, suffering every inch of the way to the end. I take it then they didn't actually really want to die, which is why they were taking their time getting there. They simply wanted the pain to end. God says being at the freezing point of knowing absolute failure isn't the end. He says there exists, for everyone, the extreme polar opposite. There is life to be had in Christ. Again, let us take to heart that in God's economy, there is nothing so dead He can't grow life from it. Everyone must die one way or another, that's a given. But God says we don't also have to die sick and sad. We worry over our welfare to the point we make ourselves ill. Will I be okay? If we read the myriad of medical advertisements, the implication is if you do what you are told by some medical professional, then you'll be okay. Yet, truthfully, it doesn't always work out like that. I suppose it also depends on our idea of well-being, too. If your bills were paid, then would you be okay? If you simply weren't sick, then would you be okay? What will it take to make you okay? In John 4, verse 42, upon meeting Jesus, the people of Samaria told the woman,
"It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world."
Where the English word believe is, the Greek word translated as believe yields a much more comprehensive meaning, in this case meaning, by implication, they entrusted their spiritual well-being to Christ. They were convinced, gave assent to, and relied on God to take care of them. That is God's idea of what it is to believe. In Mark 9, verse 24, when the father of the child cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief," he was speaking to Jesus and was confessing openly that, although he gave assent to the Lord and relied on God to take care of them, for his child to be made whole, not just no longer sick, but made whole, that was just beyond his capability. I believe the man looked into himself and saw not only trust, but also that he didn't trust the Lord as much as he thought. He realized his state of cognitive dissonance. The idea his child could be made whole was simply beyond his imagination to grasp. Instead of making a dishonest face, smiling his most pious smile, saying with great benevolence, "Praise God, everything is fine, just fine," he told the truth and asked the Lord for help. Do we only believe God when things are well? Or when things aren't well with us, do we resign ourselves to suffer and to die because somewhere along the line, someone we respected told us the cause of our suffering was because we didn't have enough faith or there was sin in our lives? Huh. Oh, wow. That is a performance mentality, and the truth is, God doesn't work that way. You can't run fast enough or be good enough to deserve well-being. Sure, if we don't pray, don't read the Bible, and don't actually connect with other believers, the possibilities of our well-being are narrowed considerably. But truly, our well-being is God's domain. And to sit around harboring the secret worry of, "Will I be okay?" to the point of validating the saying, "Worry yourself sick," well, it doesn't have to be that way. Rather than worrying about our well-being, it would be more profitable to simply be honest, pursuing the Lord to help our unbelief regardless of our circumstances. Trust God, regardless of your discomfort and trouble. It can be done. Learn to live well where you are until the Lord changes the situation. Don't do the yeah, but thing. Embrace the Lord's promise of well-being and let Him do it. I didn't say now, be slack and do nothing. That is twisting the intent here. Trust Him. Tell Him about it. I guarantee He'll solve the conflicts which prevent you from moving forward. You will indeed be okay.